From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Kasakwe strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwe in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwe.
Here on the far outside is Good Samaritan in his dirt debut, and he's charging in the center of the track. He's gone by them all. Good Samaritan has taken the lead, and he's pulling away. Good Samaritan has won the Jim Dandy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and once again, welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, our producer, the Baroness, Michelle Penna. We are all with you this morning at Saratoga Racecourse here in Saratoga Springs, New York. Happy to have you with us over the course of the next 2 hours as we come to you quite literally from the rail to your radio. We are positioned only about 20 yards from where history will be made once again this afternoon in the Grade 1 Whitney and the Grade 1 Test. The main track is currently fast, although we did have some inclement weather overnight. That weather has kind of come to pass at the moment anyways. We still have some gray skies, and those skies have been spitting rain on and off throughout the morning, but nothing substantial at this point, and the forecast this afternoon is for sunny skies and temperatures in the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. So it's going to be a great day of racing. 11 races, 5 stakes, 3 graded stakes, and 2 of those are grade 1s, the Test and the Whitney that I just mentioned, and it's going to be a phenomenal afternoon. And JT, a great morning here over the next 2 hours, too.
Yeah, we luckily dodged the storms. Just a little drizzle here and there. The skies are gray, but it looks like it's going to be a beautiful afternoon, and I'm so happy that the track is fast. The turf course probably got just enough water to make it greener, and it's going to be a really nice day for racing here.
We have been coming to Saratoga to bring you coverage of the major races for many, many years now, and it never gets old. Every time you walk in through here, you kind of feel the ghosts of racing past, so to speak, right? So many of the greatest horses we've ever seen in the sport, Man of War, Secretariat, the list goes on and on. They've all competed right here in Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, we've seen some fantastic racing, obviously. I mean, Saratoga arguably has the best racing in the nation, certainly during the summer. I think the only racetrack that rivals it year in, year out is Keeneland. The racing at Keeneland is always fantastic, but Saratoga is very special. Great performances here. The one that is going to stand out for me the rest of my life, unless somebody better comes along, is Arrogate's Traverse. That was just a very memorable event. Another one that I liked was the day Big Brown broke his maiden here, and you and I just were, well, our jaws dropped, and then a few expletives flew.
Yeah. How about Uncle Mo?
Uncle Mo, very impressive.
Watching him break his maiden
here.
We sat in this very same location, as a matter of fact, when Uncle Mo broke his maiden.
Uncle Mo and everybody else.
So, we thought it was at that point.
That's right.
Yeah, it, well, it was
for a long, long time it was. But, yeah, there's been some outstanding races here, and always a lot of fun to be at Saratoga. And it's a new experience for me this year because my son is here working for TVG and doing Caton Bradar's camera work. And so he's been experiencing Saratoga for the first time. He's a Del Mar guy. He was on the beach at Del Mar the day after he was born, actually. Yep. So, but he's loving it here, and it gets in your blood, really.
We have a busy 3 or 4 days ahead. Of course, this afternoon we'll bring you coverage of the Whitney and the Test. That coverage beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern time. You're going to be able to tune in on a different Sirius XM channel for those of you listening to us on satellite radio. This afternoon we'll be broadcast on Sirius 138 and XM 201. On affiliates across the country as well, and you can get a complete listing on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can also listen to us worldwide on our website as well. Then on Monday and Tuesday night, we're going to head across the street to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sales Grounds in the Humphrey S. Finney Sales Pavilion to bring you our exclusive coverage once again of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale. That coverage begins Monday and Tuesday night, 6:30 Eastern each night. Sirius 215, XM 206 are your channels for the sale coverage, and you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net as well.
Yeah, it's one of our most popular shows during the year. People love it. You think, broadcasting a horse sale, that sounds kind of boring, but it's really not. A lot of the major players in racing are here for that sale, and we'll have Acacia Courtney doing interviews and talking to the players and getting reactions from buyers and sellers as the horses go through the ring. It's a really cool event, and it actually comes across very nicely on the radio.
And I had a chance yesterday to sit down and do an interview with consigner Stuart Morris and also with Craig Banderoff of Denali Stud and his son Conrad, who is 25 years old. He went through the Darley Flying Start program. He has joined Craig and Holly with that operation now. He's working side by side with his father, and had a great interview with them, the two of them together, that you're going to hear on the coverage Monday night. So make sure that you stick with us for all that coverage. And of course, if you want to hear that interview I did with Stuart Morris yesterday, it's up on our website now, horseracingradio.net. Head on over and find out why Stuart has been so successful and why his family has had so much success selling horses over the years. All right, we're going to talk about the Whitney. We're going to talk about the test as we move throughout the program today. We're also going to talk about that Saratoga sale. We're going to be joined after our first commercial break by Heedley Bell, who is with Millridge and Nakoma. They have sold countless big horses at this sale and major sales across the country. Looking forward to that visit at 8:15 Eastern. We're also going to be joined by Bernie Sams of Claiborne at 9:20 Eastern, and we're going to talk about some of their outstanding stallions and how they may impact the Saratoga sale here on Monday and Tuesday night. We're going to be joined by Florent Giroux at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. He will be aboard the likely favorite in this afternoon's Whitney. That is the sensational Gun Runner, who comes out of that big win in the Stephen Foster at Churchill Downs. We're also going to mix in a little talk about Gulfstream Park and their FTBOA Florida Sire Day, which is taking place this afternoon with a couple of really good stakes. Mike Nyman going to join us at 8:37 Eastern. He's the director of marketing at Gulfstream. So we're going to cover an awful lot of ground. But Jude, in terms of what we see with the racing here today, with those two big grade ones, the test, the Whitney, the test is the bigger field, 10 fillies set to go. They're all three-year-olds. We see the return of the ultra-talented Tech Alita, who makes her first start since a seventh-place finish in the Kentucky Oaks on May 5th. And then the Whitney, seven horses, all eyes on Gunrunner.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that it looks like the track's going to be fast, that upgrades Gunrunner's chances. A lot of people were thinking his two best races, worst races, were on off tracks, and maybe that would compromise him today. But now it looks like he's going to get his conditions if the rain holds off, and it looks like it's probably going to.
Yeah, we also have the return of Keen Ice, who last time out won the Grade 2 Suburban, but people will remember Keen Ice is the horse who upset Triple Crown winner American Pharoah in the 2015 Traverse Stakes right here at Saratoga. Keen Ice, how about this? He has won three races in his career. He's just 3-for-22. He doesn't win very often, but Judy's earned more than $3 million in purse money, so he's won the right three races.
Yeah, because he's eligible for three other than, so which someday, just for fun, they ought to enter him in there and watch a bunch of trainers faint.
How about that? Three races, $3 million. You talk about quality over quantity, right?
Yeah, yeah. He seems to pop up when you least expect it, and that's good. Jack Vanberg said you can't buy groceries with Winner's Circle pictures, and he's got the nice bankroll. He doesn't have many pictures on his wall, but you know, Gate Dancer was the same way. So we'll see what happens with him. He ran big last time, and there's some people that really think he's turned the corner, so to speak. But they're always optimists with Keen Ice.
Yeah, and to see him put back-to-back victories together is, well, at least it seems like a bit of a stretch.
It's unheard of.
Yes, it's unprecedented when you look at his resume.
Yeah.
He won the Travers, and then he had to wait until this year to win the Suburban for his next victory. So it's been a while in between big wins for Keen Ice, but they have been massive wins when he's been able to do it. You know, that Grade 2 Suburban was a great race. He won by three, defeating Shaman Ghost, who looked like he was going to be maybe a horse that could contend for those top honors against the likes of Arrowgate and Gunrunner.
Yeah, well, you know, in his defense, he's been raced in tough spots his whole career. I mean, he really hasn't had a chance to go through his allowance conditions because he's always running in grade one races. So his record would probably be better, you know, if he'd had a chance to run through his conditions and that. But he's a good horse. He does try, and he just seems to be in the right place at the right time.
All right, so here's our poll question of the day. You can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Today's poll question, we're going to give you kind of a prop bet here, okay, because Gunrunner is going to be a prohibitive favorite in the Whitney, and he only has to defeat six rivals, not the biggest field, and maybe not the most imposing field that Gunrunner has ever run against. There's no Arrowgate in this year's Whitney. There's no Shaman Ghost. But you can take Gunrunner, or you can take the field. Who are you going to bet on in today's Whitney? Are you going to bet on Gunrunner and take the short price? Or are you going to bet on the field and take everybody else? And all you're trying to do is pick the winner of the Whitney. So who's it going to be for you, Gunrunner or the field? That's the poll question. Weigh in now at HRRN on our Twitter feed or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale with consigner Heedley Bell of Mill Ridge. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crop still to come.
Jack in the ascendancy light.
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Oscar Performance on top, three quarters in 114.37. He's been there all the way, and they're into the stretch. Oscar Performance set down with a 2.5 length lead, called to the bar, and Yoshida trying to chase him home, but Oscar Performance has opened up three. Called to the bar is second, and then comes Yoshida to the outside, and Holmesman down the center of the course, followed by Good Samaritan. Oscar Performance goes all the way in the Belmont Derby Invitational. He is defeated, called to the bar. Then it was Holmesman and Good Samaritan in a photo. The final time, 2 minutes, 0.25 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Barron and Pontiff with you trackside at Saratoga Race Course here in Saratoga Springs, New York. We are under gray, overcast skies, but those skies not producing any rain at the moment, and they're not supposed to as we get later into the day. The forecast for this afternoon's races, pretty darn good, with sunny skies and temperatures in the upper 70s to right around 80, and that is welcome news for everybody at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale, which will take place right across the street Monday and Tuesday night, because over the next couple of days, they will be busy showing those yearlings that will go under the gavel. You hear the call from Larry Colmus, Jude, of Oscar Performance winning the Belmont Derby Invitational. Now, Oscar Performance is one of 34 Grade 1 winners raised or sold by Millridge just since 2000. How about the success that they've had?
Oh, yeah, they do a great job out there. Oscar Performance, tremendous horse. John and Jerry Ammerman, homebred, and he's headed to the Secretariat Stakes now, it looks like. And, you know, Millridge, when you go to their consignment, when you see the horses and how well they're taken care of and the crew that they have, it just makes your shopping so much easier.
Yeah, Heedley Bell, through his Nakoma Bloodstock, who works with Millridge and sells all their horses along with his son Price, were at the sale yesterday. And now, keep in mind, when you go to a horse sale, quite often there will be a couple of consigners who start showing horses early, meaning that they'll bring the horses out and let potential buyers see them earlier than some of the others. There were only a couple of barns that were showing horses yesterday, and Heedley and Price were front and center. They were right out there doing it, and that's what makes them so successful. Heedley, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you aboard.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you and you, Mike, and you, Jude, so thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, you guys were busy yesterday. You were working pretty hard on that first day of showing horses.
Well, we try to allow the horses to settle in and work all the bugs out and let the buyers have a chance to see them. We're not everybody shows on Friday, but we found it to be a good exercise for us, and it worked out well yesterday.
Yeah, keep in mind, and for people that aren't aware, this is a selected yearling sale, meaning these are the cream of the crop, and they're very, very young horses. Does it take them a couple of days or maybe a day, Heedley, to kind of settle in and get used to their surroundings and get used to all the action that's taking place around them?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. These horses are just yearlings. They've shipped all the way from Kentucky up here, ridden on a van overnight, arrived in surroundings that they haven't got a clue about. Tired, and all of a sudden they're presented with something they've never done before, which is to show to a lot of people. So it's definitely a test for them, and we just try to bring them, like everybody does, in the best condition possible and try to school them as well as we can, but it's really up to them and our team to allow all that to occur.
Yeah, talk about that for a minute. What goes into preparing these horses to come to the sale, especially Saratoga, where everything's just got to be spot on?
Well, you're right, Jude. First of all, what goes into it is the Fasig team. They go around to all the different farms and select really prime horses for this sale. And so with us, we've got five that they've selected, and we've selected as well, all by different stallions, all by racehorse stallions, Flatter, More Than Ready, Quality Road, Kitten's Joy, and so it's really a good group of horses, and then we take about 60 days and we prepare them. We're a little different than most in that we're still able to hand walk our yearlings, and we've got the walkers, but we try to keep it as much as natural as we possibly can. And those 60 days, they just grow used to the people and used to the exercise and used to the experience as well as possible. But it's all pregame, and you don't know until you actually get into the game how you're going to perform.
Heedley, is there such a thing as strategy and game planning when you come to a sale like this or any major sale?
You know, Mike, every sale that you're presented with, you're trying to be the biggest fish you can possibly be. So you take each individual horse, weigh them, measure them as far as what their talents are, where they fit in. And so it is it is a strategy, quite a bit of a strategy, and that's a team effort, again, with Basic Tipton and with our owners and ourselves and the horses, naturally. They're the driver on it, but it is a strategy.
All right, so with that said, how do you know that the five yearlings that you've brought this sale are a fit for the buyer base that is going to be here in Saratoga Monday and Tuesday night? Is it pedigree? Is it confirmation? Is it a little bit of both? How do you know?
It's all the above. And, you know, obviously what you're trying to do, and I think our record speaks for itself, in that you're really trying to present athletes that can be picked over on a pretty constant basis. There's plenty of time to shop 200 head of horses here. So you're taking horses that can fit the pedigree side. In our case, we've got two fillies that go back to Purcell Ensign's family. You're trying to take the confirmation side, horses that are strong enough to be able to withstand, again, all that scrutiny. And, again, you're trying to offer athletes, that's what we try to do. And we're fortunate in that we've had really good fortune up here at Saratoga, and so people regard that, and so it's a good chemistry for the whole experience.
Yeah, a lot of people that go around shopping, they have too much time to look at the horses. It's easy to find something to knock on a horse, right? So your horse really has to look good consistently, because sometimes they get looked at four or five times by the same person.
Well, think about it, Jude. You know, it's this sale, which is the select sale, versus the next session, which is the select Keeneland sale. You know, but now you're talking 3,500 horses. Obviously, within the select portion of Keeneland, it's 1,200 horses, you know. But still, that's 1,200 horses over a four-day period. And so it's a very different scenario, and it's very much a boutique situation. And you have to anticipate that as well as possible. And you know, that's what everybody does that comes to this particular sale.
Do you find that maybe the horses that get the most attention are the ones that look like you could put a saddle on them and run them at Saratoga this year?
that seems to be, and maybe that's what others do. We don't really, as I say, we don't really come here. We're not fully baked when we get here. People accept that our horses are pretty natural, you know. So there are plenty that come looking like that, and I think people today and for some time, but horsemen buy horses, and people know, they know the consigners, they know pretty well everything, and so everybody has a different take on it and a different strategy, but ours aren't fully baked, and they're pretty much what you see is what you get, but certainly polished, but not fully baked.
Talking with Heedley Bell with Millridge and Nakoma Bloodstock. You can visit them at the Phase of Tipton Saratoga sale coming up Monday and Tuesday night. They'll be showing horses all day today, all day tomorrow, and even on Monday leading up to the sale. Heedley, when you look at the resume of Millridge, and not just the horses sold by Millridge, but the horses raised by Millridge, and you see 8 Breeders' Cup winners, including the likes of Oscar Performance, then you see 5 Horse of the Years with Harv de Grace, and you see Kentucky Derby winners like Giacomo, and then Barbaro and Street Sense. What's the key to not just selling a good horse, but raising a good horse?
Well, Mike, I thank you for saying that and pointing that out. You know, I'm 5 generations, Price is 6 generations in this business, and we've been inspired by generations before us, and that's goes back to my great grandfather and then my grandfather, and obviously my mother who really built Millridge, our mother who built Millridge, and they're the ones who have really built that foundation, and it's just a matter of being inspired by them to do the very best you can. If you don't have the clientele and the horses, it's like any trainer, any situation, you have to have the people and you have to have the horses to allow you the opportunity. And we're fortunate to have that. We're fortunate to have this great land. It's proven land. And we're fortunate to have a tremendous team that makes up Millridge. And it's all about that, the team and everybody. And, you know, it's just, it's a privilege to have a chance to carry it on and to work with the people that we do. And it's as good as it gets to today we have a filly that's the longest shot on the board, but a filly called Cursor, who's in the test for Don Adam and his team and Mark Henning and Ernie Redemosen. You know, for us to have a chance, they love this filly. And for us to associate with those people and give them that chance, and they're kind enough to allow us to ride with them, that's as good as it gets. Got a filly that was in Sassy Little Lila that I think is going to scratch, but she was beating a nose in a grade one, you know, for Brad Cox. And those are just today. Nakoma, maiden yesterday, Bricks and Mortar for George Strawbridge. It looks like between Oscar Performance and Bricks and Mortar, those are the two best three-year-olds on the grass. So we're fortunate to be given the opportunity to apply our trade, and it's a gift.
You talked about your clients, and I think that's a huge key. You take care of horses for some of the biggest names in our industry, and most of them have been with you for a long, long time, and that's a tribute to your performance as well.
Well, thank you so much, Jude. It really is a privilege to work with these people, and I say that always in all sincerity, because they are truly lovers of the horse. They're lovers of the game, and you want them to succeed.
Heedley, you talk about your family and that history and the tradition that dates back generations. Yesterday I had an opportunity to visit with Craig Banderoff and his young son Conrad with Denali Stud, and they talked about now working together now that Conrad has joined his team. But you've had the privilege of, you know, working with your family, working with your son. What's that like to be able to go down this road and experience those successes with those closest to you?
Well, anybody with children knows that your children are your life. And so you raise them as well as you possibly can. And, we never had any great plan in place or anything like that. It evolves and such. And as it turns out, we have three children, and all of them love the horse. But Price has been the most involved with it. And he's very keen and plenty talented. And we had the great fortune of building out Horse Country together, along with Luke Fallon and Brutus Clay, to be the foundation developers in Horse Country. And you can only imagine working with your child to do something like that. Horse Country is going to be everlasting in this industry. And that's, as you're well aware, it's where we've opened up the farms for tourism and to grow our fan base. And it's something that is a foundation piece for our industry for the future. And just as our grandfather built Keeneland, you know, for he was the first president, one of the founders of Keeneland. And that's the same thing. That's a cornerstone to our industry. And to have that opportunity to contribute and to give back to this industry is truly, it's what we're about. And I'm proud and pleased to say that Price is very much a part of all that and feels that way as well. So that's another gift that we have. It doesn't get any better, really, Mike.
What's easier, raising horses or raising children?
Well, I'm fortunate. I've got a tremendous partner in my wife who, you know, really is the foundation of our family. And so I don't know. It's I like both of them very, very well.
Well, the horses don't talk back necessarily. So.
That's right. That's right. No, it really is. I know you have children. I think you have. Yes? No. You have children, Mike?
No, I do not. No.
Okay.
Jude does, well, though.
Anyway, if you we're fortunate to have children, and they're a big part of our life. So, it's very special.
When you get frustrated with your kids, you go talk to the horses. When you get frustrated with the horses, you go play with your kids. So it works out perfectly. And I always thought, as a trainer, you know, it's easier to figure horses out if you've had kids, you know, because, like, you have a baby, they can't tell you what's wrong. You got to figure it out, and it's good practice with the horses as well. You're trying to find out what's going to make them
happy. And vice versa. You know, you're really learning in all scenarios, and it's just a matter of giving it a go and seeing how it works out.
And, well, Heedley Bell, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Heedley, appreciate the time. As always, my friend, thank you for all the support of what we do here on the network. We couldn't be more privileged to say that we are associated with Millridge, and look forward to seeing you over there at the sale. All the best, my friend.
Well, you the same, Mike. It's great to work with you guys. Y'all have got a great team, and you're going places. So well done. Thank you so much, Mike and Judy.
Thank you. Healy Bell, Millridge, Nakoma, and they really do a phenomenal job. Make sure you stop by, say hello when you're over there at the sale looking at the horses, and do not miss those Millridge horses because they you never know when that next champion is going to appear. It could be right across the street from us now here in Saratoga Springs. All right, time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty in Lexington, Kentucky. And then we'll come back and visit with Mike Nyman from Gulfstream. We'll tell you all about the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes taking place later this afternoon as we continue with more live from Saratoga here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
There have been match races and there have been match races in thoroughbred racing. Some have fizzled, some have turned into classic confrontations of the equine sport. On October 20th, 1923, there was one that by anybody's measure or means falls into the latter category. At that date in the Roaring Twenties at Belmont Park, 50,000 patrons were amassed neath a brilliant yellow sun on a mild autumn day, with Mother Nature having reached down with tender tendrils to paint the surrounding countryside in the brilliant hues of the season to see a horse race. Oh, there had been large crowds at Belmont in the past, but never of the size of the assemblage gathered on that day. This one came filled with patriotism and the sporting instinct. It was an event amongst events. The enormous crowd was overflowed from the clubhouse into the grandstand and on out across the lawn and provided the exclamation point to one of the greatest spectacles in all the annals of sport. The purse was $100,000, the racing surface muddy, and the combatants were the great Zeb, Harry F. Sinclair's American Standard Bearer, to be piloted by the redoubtable Earl Sandy, and the superb British representative Papyrus, with Steve Donahue handling the line. Zeb went postered at 4-5, Papyrus even money. Papyrus had several excellent workouts since arriving in America. Zeb had not been at his best of late, having incurred a skin ailment, but on this day, in this race, they both performed like the champions that they were. From a standing start, Papyrus got away very quickly, jumping on out to a length and a half lead before the two had gone a single furlong. Zeb, slow to settle into stride, made up the ground quickly and dropped down along the rail under Sandy. By the time they had gone a quarter, Zeb had gained the lead and was full of run. Sandy took a strong hold and was rating his mount nicely. At the half-mile marker, it was Zeb by a length, and on down the backside they went in the 10-furlong race with Donahue on Papyrus, asking his stalwart for just a bit more, while Sandy, in turn, let out a notch on Zeb, holding on to a one-length lead as the two thundered into the far turn. They continued to hold their positions in what had become a cat-and-mouse game between riders and horses on around the turn, with Donahue and Papyrus unable to close any ground. It looked at that point as if the courageous British champion was indeed a beaten horse. As they swung off the turn to the head of the stretch, Zeb increased his margin under the astute handling of Sandy. Bending low, Sandy appeared to cluck and whisper something into Zeb's ear, and he began to widen his margin as a huge roar swelled up from the vast multitude in attendance. Zeb literally ate up huge chunks of ground with giant strides. Papyrus fell further behind. They had only a furlong to the wire, and it was Zeb by four open lengths. As they galloped to the finish with Zeb in full command, sending sprays of mud up before the noisy crowd, Sandy guided the conquering hero home magnificently with every leap, ultimately winning by 8 open lengths. It was a stirring performance by Zeb and the single most crushing defeat ever suffered by the British great Papyrus. The Rancocas colt of Harry Sinclair had not run a particularly fast race, but under the handy guy named Sandy, he had proved himself to be an international champion and had upheld the honor and prestige of American racing. Zeb versus Papyrus, Belmont Park, October 20th, 1923. A great moment in racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store. And that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but you don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way, right away, by owning pieces of multiple horses, which increases your chances of action. West Point has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 25 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtb.com. That's westpointtb.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway stallion Tepret, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Tepret has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Tappet's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, Phillies, Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Tepret. Look for Tepret yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Top of the stretch of the Stephen Foster, and Florence Rouge shakes up Gunrunner, a two-length lead. Now it's a three-length lead. Gunrunner by the eighth pole. Stanford battles on, breaking Lucky Does to with honorable duty and Hawakum down inside, but there's 100 yards left, and Gunrunner with gusto in the Stephen Foster wins for fun. Five in the end. Honorable Duty was second, Breaking Lucky was third, and Hawakum was fourth.
Mike Pena, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That call from Travis Stone, Gunrunner, just a walk in the park in the Grade 1 Stephen Foster at Churchill Downs in his most recent outing. He gets another test this afternoon as he goes postward in the Grade 1 Whitney, the 90th running of that historic race. Coming up later today here at the Spa, you'll hear coverage 5 to 6 Eastern right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. That coverage coming up, Sirius 138 XM 201 for those of you tuning in on satellite radio. Of course, you can tune in on affiliates across the country, and you can always stream us worldwide on your tablet, mobile device, computer, and Bluetooth us in your car at horseracingradio.net. So a lot of ways to listen, and JT figures to be a good one.
Yeah, it's a historic race. Not the deepest field we've ever seen, but Gunrunner is always a pleasure to watch, and he's a beautiful
this is
animal.
The graveyard of champions. Oh, graveyard God. Of favorites. Look out.
Don't
look
start.
Out,
don't start with me. With
hey,
a graveyard
ask American
of champions.
Pharaoh.
Yeah, I'm not asking American Pharaoh anything.
Secretariat. Ask Man of War. Graveyard of champions here in Saratoga. Yeah. We're going to hear from Gunrunner's jockey. That is Florent Giroux coming up 9 Eastern. Bernie Sam's going to join us at 9:20 Eastern. He, of course, is with Claiborne. They were the owners of Blame, who won the Whitney a few years back. So we'll get a chance to talk to Bernie coming up later in the program. But right now we're going to turn our attention to South Florida and the great program that's taking place at Gulfstream Park, where you have the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes. And look, you have a couple of two-year-old races, the two-year-old fillies going postward in the Desert Vixen and the two-year-old boys going in the Dr. Fager, and nobody has his finger on the pulse of South Florida racing more than our good friend Mike Nyman, who is the director of marketing at Gulfstream. He's with us now here on HRRN. Mike, welcome, my friend.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How's everything going?
Everything's good here at the spa. We've got a few gray, overcast skies, a bit of rain last night, but not now. It's supposed to be a beautiful afternoon with sunny skies. So how about down there in Florida?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have a beautiful day today. It's sunny and clear, so obviously it's going to be a little on the warm side. It's the summertime now, but it's going to be fast and firm, so that'll be good for the program.
Yeah, Chuck Simon, he posted a picture this morning of the sunrise. It was beautiful. I figured you'd be in for a great day down there today.
Yep, yep. So we're looking forward to it. Actually, I had a meeting with Chuck Simon yesterday afternoon. So we'll have some new things we may be working on with the Florida Horsemen and some new marketing promotions that we'll probably be announcing shortly.
I noticed that the FTBOA board approved the highest possible Breeders and Stallion Awards for next year. That's got to bode well for your program there in South Florida.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's, you know, being myself in the past that owned and bred Florida breds, it's great to see that the, you know, the programs move forward and there's an opportunity, you know, especially for the breeders, you know, to make more money. And you need to do that to keep the industry going. So, you know, kudos to the FTBOA and great for the racing program, great for Gulfstream Park.
Mike, quite often we spend time throughout the championship meet talking about the big stakes races that Gulfstream hosts, and I you know, I think rightfully so, but on a day like this where you have a couple of races that are, you know, restricted races like this for the Florida program, and all eyes are on that Florida program this afternoon, what does a day like this mean to racing in the state?
It's very important because, you know, we really brought back summer racing. Summer racing was really on a decline. People weren't really coming out to the track in the summer, and you know, we really wanted to revive that whole thing. And adding this, you know, the Summit of Speed, which we had in July, and then the Sire Stakes, really, you know, completes the summer program. We're on pace again for double-digit increases for the spring summer meet. It's just been amazing how well and successful we've been with it, and you have to, obviously have to thank the horsemen and the trainers, and for a lot of them it's a great opportunity to be able to, you know, to be here 12 months a year because there's racing opportunities here for them all year round, and I think that's really made a strong case for, you know, a lot of people that were naysayers and say, hey, how can you really, you know, run a program all year round, and of course 10 months here, and then we run the GPW meet for 2 months in October, November. But it's worked out. You can see, you know, we have good-sized fields, and we have a great horse population down here. I know it's a problem in some other parts of the country, but here it's worked, and it seems like, you know, just the efforts and behind the whole Stronach group. And, of course, I can't mention Tim Ritvo enough. You know, the job that he's done, I think it's pretty well documented now, you know, with what he started here at Gulfstream Park, moved on into, you know, Maryland Racing, and now, you know, tackling California. So you have to really say under his leadership and the foresight of, you know, Frank Stronach to put him in that position, it's really made this whole thing click.
You know, I noticed you started some Twilight racing. How's that going?
It's going pretty good. We've been pretty happy with it. I mean, technically it would be better if we could race after 7. As I've mentioned before, we're trying to get the law changed and hopefully eventually have some, you know, little Twilight racing more into the night. But yeah, our Fridays have been up, so our handle's been up on those days. It seems like it's worked out well, and we're very happy with it. And then, you know, as I've mentioned before, we've had free entertainment at night. We've been doing really well with that, and actually we're extending it through the end of the meet, through the end of September, where we were going to end the Twilight Friday on September 1st. So this will carry on through the end of our meet.
Mike, it's never too early to start thinking about that championship meet, which will begin in early December. And I guess that's only 4 months away. So Are there some preparations that have already begun on your end and maybe some new things we can look forward to, or is it still too early to talk about it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, we're way into this already. Matter of fact, we've been meeting just about every week on the Caribbean Classic, which is this new event that's coming up from, you know, the South American Caribbean countries that'll be held here on December 9th. So we'll kick it off on December 2nd with the Claiming Crown, as we always do, and we'll have our handicapping challenge as we did last year, which is the Conquer the Crown $3,000 contest. Then following week, as I mentioned, we'll kick right into the Caribbean Classic, something brand new, something that Tim Ritvo and Mike Rogers worked hard to bring that to the United States, something that apparently Mr. Stronach had always wanted to bring here, and we're looking forward to it. Obviously, the preparations to bring horses in from, you know, outside the United States, there's a lot of rules and regulations and things, and we've sent people down to meetings down there several times. So we're looking forward to it. It'll be five races that day, five for the Caribbean Classic races. You're going to see some of the best horses coming up from South America, and the greatest jockeys obviously will be here. So that'll go on. That's a five-race card. Plus, we'll have six races of our own, which will be two-year-old stake races that day that we always have. So we'll probably have like a 13-race card or a 14-race card that day. Probably a 13-race card because of the twilight getting a little earlier back again as we change the time zone. But then we'll kick it right in. You know, we'll have the Sunshine Millions coming up, and then, of course, the Pegasus will be back world on January 27th. It'll be $16 million this year, so surpass the $12 million from last year. It's going to be a little bit of different format. The extra $4 million will be coming from the Stronach Group, Gulfstream, so we'll have a nice big purse to shoot for. They may be adding some other bigger races on the card. They haven't announced anything yet, but we'll, you know, keep a look on that. And, of course, we go right into the, of course, our little Triple Crown, which is the Holy Bull, Fountain of Youth, and then culminating on March 30th with the Florida Derby. And that's pretty much, it'll take you through the championship meet. So it's, you know, we're looking forward to it. We're planning as always, and it should be another great record-setting meet for us.
Yeah, we look forward to being back there at Gulfstream Park, providing coverage of all those big races that Mike just talked about. Mike, you also have a new betting championship that's going to take place on Pegasus World Cup weekend, January 26th and 27th, the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship, which is all presented by the Stronach Group. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, this will be a very interesting contest that we're going to be doing. It's a $12,000 buy-in. All the money is going to go to the to your betting card, unless you don't play at Gulfstream. So you could play at one of the other Stronach tracks at Laurel, Santa Anita, or Golden Gate. You'll also be able to play online at ExpressBet. So there'll be a lot of opportunities. If you don't play here, there'll be a $1,000 entry fee, but that'll all go into the prize pool. We're guaranteeing a $350,000 prize pool. We believe it'll estimate probably come out to about $500,000. But it gives you a great chance if you come down here. You know, you get to see the Pegasus. We're going to set everybody up in the Sport of Kings. You'll have a full reign of the facility and be able to watch the races. And it's, you know, if those who have been in Sport of Kings know it's a great room, and this way we can have a really good contest. And a part of the reason we're doing it in that room is that because the difference is where the prize pool's coming from is really from the handle. Gulfstream is giving back a percentage of the handle and a rebate based on everything that's bet on the room, whether it's a contest or non-contest bet. So that's how the prize pool is actually being built. And plus, ExpressBet and the Stronach Group are each putting in $100,000 apiece for the prize pool as well. So it's going to be it's a little bit of a different structure contest, but it'll be win, play, show, exacta, trifecta betting. And you can contact Nancy Berry at Gulfstream Park. You can go online or at gulfstreampark.com. All the information is there. So looking forward to having people here, and it gets you, you know, and a chance to be in a big contest and to be at a great event.
Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park, with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, before we let you go, those two Florida Sire stakes this afternoon, the Desert Vixen and the Dr. Fager. I don't know, you're so busy with all the marketing duties, I don't know how much time you get to actually look at the races, but have you taken a look at those and some of the top contenders in those races?
Yeah, I have looked at the races today, and it's interesting. I mean, the filly race, you know, half the field of eight comes up, you know, their maidens. The interesting horse, though, I have to mention is the Starship Bonita, the number two horse. I don't know if you guys, you must be familiar with the Marlins man. You've seen him on TV. He's pretty well known around the country now. Always in his Marlins shirt, and he's always behind the plate at all the big games. He's the owner of Starship Stables, and of course, I have to tell you, he'll be sitting on the finish line today. I got some tweets from him last night. But of course, we always see our old friend Stanley Gold, always, you know, ready with those two-year-olds for this series. He's been really good in the past. And then, you know, of course, you got Ralph Nix, who, you know, is really one of the up-and-coming young trainers. He's been doing a super job. You know, he's a really nice guy, and we love his wife, Stacy, who works with us at Gulfstream as well. So you always got to look out for their horses, I'd have to say, in both of those races. And, the colt race, I think these horses look like they're a little more accomplished. I think it'll be a really good race. These races are always seem to come up tough. Obviously, Stanley Gold with the Colts would dunk. You know, I know he's at 7-5 off that big, you know, 78 buyer number. But I think we've all seen enough of these type of races. You never know. These horses are all mostly inexperienced, have run maybe one, two, or three races. And that's what's exciting about it. I mean, last year we got to see Three Rules. There was a lot of buzz about him around the track in the morning. And then, of course, you know, he came out and just was, you know, swept through the series and, you know, got himself into the Breeders' Cup there in the juvenile race. Actually, I was out there and saw that. And so this is the kind of things you get to see. You never know who the next, you know, great horse you're going to see coming out of the series. Maybe, you know, next Florida Derby winner or Triple Crown or, you know, Kentucky Derby winner. So it's a lot of fun to get to see these horses early on. And, you know, and to me, they're just good betting races. I think you get a lot of good value here and, you know, whichever horse you kind of like in the race. So it's a good day, and it's just the kickoff now of the home stretch, because now every 4 weeks we'll have the Sire Stakes. There's two more legs to the series as we, you know, they increase the prize money and they increase the distances, and we go to, I believe, mile and a 16th in the third leg, and then we kind of get a good idea what we're going to see as far as the top two-year-olds, and that'll be turning three in January and be here for the championship meet.
Yeah, and as we start looking toward that Breeders' Cup in November, you'll want to keep an eye on those Sire Stakes races, because quite often we see a major player or two come out of them. So keep an eye on those horses and look for those races this afternoon. They run as race 11 and 12 at Gulfstream Park. Mike, as always, appreciate the time, my friend, and look forward to catching up with you again soon. Keep it rolling down at Gulfstream, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Jude. Great talking to you guys.
All right, Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. And, yeah, they really have the ball rolling there in the summertime racing continuing all summer in South Florida. All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we will get you set for a busy second half of the program. We'll talk about the Whitney with jockey Florent Giroux, who is aboard the likely favorite in this afternoon's race, that is Gunrunner. And we'll talk about the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale with our good friend Bernie Sams from Claiborne. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No, seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast? fast.
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sales season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, what a weekend it was for the Coolmore Stallions here in Saratoga and across the country last weekend. El Deal by Munnings and Colefront from the first crop of Stay Thirsty were big winners in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt and the Grade 2 Amsterdam, respectively, right here at the Spa. Looking at Lucky also got in on the act with a Grade 2 winner at Monmouth, and Uncle Mo, we talked about him earlier, sired a remarkable 29th stakes winner from his first two crops. The Ashford Sires are coming into next week's Saratoga sale on a high note as well, and they'll be well represented across the 2 days, including two yearlings from the first crop of Verrazano, still the holder of the biggest winning margin in Haskell history at 9 3/4 lengths. Look for all the Coolmore Stallions on the racetrack with their offspring and at the Saratoga sale Monday and Tuesday night. For more information, head on over to coolmore.com. Jude, we touched on this at the top of the show, but let's do it again. We will be here this afternoon, 5 Eastern, for the Whitney coverage, Whitney and Test. You'll hear both races, 5 to 6 Eastern. For those listening on satellite radio, you'll have to go to a different channel than you're listening to right now. We'll be on Sirius 138 and XM 201. That information on our website at Horse Racing Radio Network, too, so you can head on over there, horseracingradio.net. Monday and Tuesday night, we go across the street to the Fays at Tipton Saratoga sale. We will once again provide exclusive coverage of both nights beginning 6:30 Eastern. We'll go gavel to gavel with the first horse going into the ring and then all the way through the last horse leaving the ring. That coverage 6:30 Eastern on Sirius 215, XM 206. And all of this coverage can be accessed on our website with our live streaming at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's a busy few days for us, but it's always fun. I mean, the Whitney kicking off the coverage with that is cool, and we got the Test, and then the sale coverage. One of the best times of the year. I really enjoy that.
Let me ask you this question: with Arrowgate stubbing his toe, so to speak, and throwing in a bit of a clunker in the San Diego a couple of weeks ago at Del Mar, does that open the door for Gunrunner if he runs big today to maybe take over that top spot and say, "Hey, I'm the best horse in the country, not you, Arrowgate"?
Well, he can say whatever he wants, but it's not going to be true.
You don't think so?
No.
If he runs off the TV screen today and runs away from this field and puts in a big effort, people aren't going to start talking about maybe him being the best horse in the country?
Now, that's a whole different question. People are going to do whatever they want to do.
Would you think he was the best horse in the country?
I don't think Arrogate's the best horse in the country. I think he's the best horse in the world.
How do we explain what happened a couple of weeks ago?
Bad day, evidently. You know, everybody has a bad day. Is Del Mar the graveyard of champions? Cigar got beat there. Arrowgate got beat there. Let's see, who else got beat at Del Mar? I mean, you know, that's why, to me, like the Graveyard of Champions thing, that's like it's a fallacy. Good horses get beat everywhere, every racetrack.
Is that Onion that just came by? I think I just saw Upset out there. I can hear them. They're just galloping past us here.
Well, this place has been open 100,000 years, so, you know, everybody gets beat here.
Maybe Keen Ice pull off another upset here today. Of course, he's not going to be a huge long shot in this field, is he?
Keen Ice? No, he's probably going to be the second or third choice.
Yeah, Breaking Lucky going to take some money, right?
Maybe a little bit, you know, and Luch's horse, War Story.
Yeah.
He's going to take some money. He was impressive, you know, at Belmont. I mean, his race in the Brooklyn I thought was really good. And he's a horse that, you know, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with, but I thought he ran a super race there.
He's another one like Keen Ice, just doesn't win often.
No.
5 for 21 lifetime, but again, he's earned $1.1 million, so you'd love to own a horse like War Story. All right, we're going to get to a short little transition here as we get ready for hour number two. Then we're going to be joined in just a minute or two by jockey Florent Giroux, who's going to be aboard Gunrunner. We'll ask him his thoughts, and if Gunrunner wins big today, is he sitting on the number one horse in the country? We're going to ask him about that coming up in just a few minutes. Bernie Sams from Claiborne will be with us 9:20 Eastern time, and then right around 9:36, 9:37, right in that segment, you're going to hear a couple of clips from yesterday's Hall of Fame inductions. You will hear the clip of Garrett Gomez's father accepting his Hall of Fame induction plaque for him, and you will hear from jockey Javier Castellano, who was also inducted yesterday along with Victor Espinoza. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll come back. Hour number two is next right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing goes alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali, free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinoza clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on a busy morning from Saratoga, from the rail to your radio, just about 20 yards away from that historic main track here at the Spa. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, getting ready for a couple of Grade Ones this afternoon on an 11-race program. You'll hear the Grade 1 Test and the Grade 1 Whitney beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern Time right here on the network. And looking forward to that exclusive coverage, all part of our Saturdays at Saratoga series, which is presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. And don't forget that all of our sales coverage on Monday and Tuesday night of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale presented by our friends at Embrace the Race. And you can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. JT, we had some storms blow through last night and some passing showers from time to time this morning. We still have those overcast battleship gray skies. The wind is beginning to pick up a little bit here, but no rain falling at the moment. Figures to be a nice day, though. This weather is supposed to come to pass and blow out of here, and we should have sunny skies and temperatures hovering around that 80-degree mark for the racing this afternoon.
Yeah, it's blowing away just the way they said. Coming north and going east and avoiding Saratoga. It's like we have a little umbrella over us. So it's good. It's perfect. It's going to be nice this afternoon.
Yeah, we are positioned literally right in front of the finish line. The finish line over to our right, only, well, what would you say, about maybe 40, 50 yards to our right. So it's a perfect spot to bring you all the action this afternoon. The horses continue to train. And the cool thing about Saratoga is because this is a family vacation destination and you have Lake George just a few miles north of here, people come up and they bring the family and they get to enjoy camping or recreational activities and then come here in the mornings to watch the workouts and come back here in the afternoons. And it's really a cool atmosphere that you don't get at a lot of other racetracks.
Yeah, it is a very family-centric place. And, well, you've been coming up here your whole life with your family. And
almost 30 years.
And there's, so that's not quite your whole life.
No. Well, almost my whole life.
Almost your whole life. So, but and you continue that tradition. Your nieces and nephews come up here, and they want to bet with Uncle Mikey. So
I have so turned them into degenerates.
This is not an inducement to gamble.
Our oldest nephew Cameron, he has been coming over here, and he immediately got hooked on the whole sport and on the betting side of it. And he's extremely smart. He can put numbers together in his head very quickly, and he soon figured out that Uncle Mike was not teaching him everything there was to know about betting horses, because I was saying, okay, Cameron, why don't you put a couple bucks to show on this horse, or you know, a couple bucks across the board. And then he started reading the program, and he saw words like exacta and trifecta and superfecta and pick three and pick four. So the questions started coming, and I had to explain all that to him. And now he loves to play these superfectas. He's become hooked on it. And once he found out he could play these bets for 10 cents, let me tell you, my little nephew was all over it.
Yeah, he started buying the sheets.
And he quickly learned what everybody else has known for years. Don't listen to my picks.
I'll never forget the look on his face when he hit that trifecta last year. He thought he was the king of the world, and it's really kind of cute. You know, you remember that feeling when you make your first big score, what seems to you at the time to be a big score. And I think he won like $169 or something. But
right.
To him, it probably looked like $10 million. You know, it was really great. So, it's nice to see the kids come out and enjoy the animals and the racing and learn winning and losing and fractions along the way.
Yes.
16ths and eighths and all that stuff.
You were one of those kids that had the racing form under your textbook in school, right?
Yes, actually. In my high school yearbook, there's a picture of me reading the form in a student government meeting. I was the activities coordinator, so it kind of fit. It's something I've been doing my whole life. My first book report was on a book called Making Money on the Races. And the nun was not happy with me, Sister Annette. She called my mother and said, I don't think this is suitable material. My mom stuck up for me, which was nice. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, well, because the weather hasn't been all that great this morning, the rail area where you typically see people lined up watching the horses gallop isn't nearly as crowded as it normally would be. But we still see some parents with their kids here, and the kids all excited to get a up-close look at the horses. And many of the outriders will stop by, and the kids will be able to pet the horses and things like that. So it's, you know, that's what Saratoga is all about. You have the picnic area out back where if you want to bring in a cooler full of whatever, and sandwiches and hang out and relax at the picnic area, you can do that. They have picnic tables up the very top of the stretch, which is where I cut my teeth on racing, just sitting out there heckling the jockeys as they would come by and warm up before the races. Well, I'm much kinder to the jockeys now that that we work together on a lot of levels. I actually have told a couple of them that I was that one that was giving you a hard time at the top of the stretch 30 years ago.
Yeah. So it's cool though. It's a great atmosphere here at Saratoga. When we came in this morning at 7:15, there were picnic tables already with tablecloths on them. People were already shipping in, and it's really nice. It's a summer place to be.
All right, we threw out a poll question at the top of the show, and it's pretty simple. It's kind of a prop bet type of poll question. You know, a lot of times when Tiger Woods was in his heyday, for example, and you could in the Masters take Tiger Woods or the field because he was playing that well and he looked invincible. Well, our poll question today is kind of cut from the same cloth. you can go ahead and select in the today Whitney Gunrunner, who is going to be a prohibitive favorite, or you can take the field. So we want to know who you're going to bet on in today's Whitney, if you could just do it that way. So far, 70% of HRN Nation weighing in on our Twitter feed at HRRN and saying that they would take Gunrunner over the field, just 30% taking the other six horses in the race.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Actually, it's spelled in our Twitter thing, Fageld. You can take the Fageld, actually. Yes. A bit of a typo there, but we did mean field, not Fageld.
You obviously haven't been looking at Twitter while we're on the show.
I never do. I'm doing the show. I'm working. How can I look at Twitter?
You have to do both.
Can't.
There's a conversation going on between our producer, Sean C., and the big A, Anthony Stabile, about the spelling and the fact that that's my Swedish cousin.
Fageld. As opposed to Feld.
The big A said, is this a Swedish poll?
We did have a couple of people weigh in and say, have a couple of comments on the poll question, too, as opposed to voting. And one person here, Summer at Saratoga, saying, neither, no value on Gunrunner, and I can't bet against him. We had another person weigh in and say, not seeing anyone who can beat Gunrunner on a fast track. Raining a bit right now, but if it stays mainly dry, he's in too good a form. And the last one, saying I used him as a key in my pick for the only way to make money on him and get lucky too, talking about Gunrunner. And we have the privilege now of being joined by Gunrunner's jockey, that is Florent Giroux, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Florent, welcome, my friend.
Hi, guys.
Happy to have you on board, and looking forward to the visit. Gunrunner getting a lot of respect in our poll question on our Twitter feed this morning. We asked people if they could bet Gunrunner or they could bet the field, the other six horses, who would they take? And 70% saying, we'll take Gunrunner, so no pressure this afternoon.
Yeah, I hope they're all right, you know.
Great answer.
Flo, what is it about Gunrunner that makes him so good?
Oh, he's just a very neat horse, you know. I think he's a... He's gifted, you know, with tons of ability, and he's a very nice horse to be around, and he's just a very fast horse, you know, and nothing faces him, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, the racetrack and where the place is. You check, you know, many boxes, you know. He just goes the vixen right and run very hard, you know, every race. So that's what makes him pretty special.
He was a good three-year-old, but he seems a lot better at four. Do you find that?
Yes, definitely. You know, like, you know, you've seen his few races, you know, so far this year. Looks like, you know, he really, like, matured, you know, very nicely from three to four. And that was the same thing from two to three. You know, looks like he's a horse who's keep on progressing and he's going the right direction. And, I'm hoping he can run a big race, you know, like he did so far in his few races this year.
Flo, you've been aboard a lot of really good horses in your career, and you've been aboard some in average, everyday-type races that maybe haven't been as good. When you get a leg up on a horse that's as good as Gunrunner, put me in the saddle with you. What's that moment like when you hop aboard a horse that you know is that good?
Well, it's a bit simple. It's like driving a faster car, you know. When you're in the car and you start pushing the gas and it goes faster, that's exactly what it feels like, you know. It just goes faster and a little bit smoother too, you know. But no, it's just faster than regular horses, you know. And sometimes you make good horses look average horses. So I think that's when you know you have very, very good horse, when you can make a good horse an average horse.
Yeah, take me through that win last time out in the Stephen Foster.
Well, very simple. You know, he always breaks sharp and he's always close to the pace. He has a natural, you know, tactical speed. So he's always, you know, up close, you know. He's not ranked or anything. He just have a very high cruising speed. And from there, I just nursed him, you know, on a lead, you know. He just took it, you know, from the user horses. And some horses probably could have gone, you know, that day, but they know too, if they go with him, they probably won't be able to finish, you know. And I'm pretty much sure, you know, if you hooked him, you know, eyeball to eyeball, I know which one is going to last longer, you know. And some of the other guys, sometimes they just try to save some horse for the end, but very simple, you know. He was just cruising on a lead, and when I asked him to go, you know, he gave me a nice kick, and by the 8 pole, you know, the race was pretty much over.
Do you ever get on him in the mornings?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I breeze him. I can't tell you how many times I breeze him. I breeze him so many times, I don't even remember, but when it's like his last workout, usually let the exercise rider do the very maintenance work, but when he's getting a little more serious, you know, I always walk him, and he's always a great horse. I don't remember once, you know, him breathing bad, you know. He always breathes great. So all the time I breathe him, he always outwork whatever the horses they put in company with, you know. And
talking with jockey Florent Giroux here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Florent, you mentioned that somewhat easy trip in the Stephen Foster last time out where he broke sharp, you were in front the whole way, and he just drew off. There's some other speed in this afternoon's Whitney. So without giving away any strategy secrets, what's the game plan going into this afternoon's race?
Well, I'm going to let my horse, you know, break and go from there, you know. If somebody wants to go on the lead, you know, like I'm sure there's a horse who is in the race for that, he probably is going to go, you know. I'm just going to let him go and just stay next to him. And if there's another horse who wants to tackle him, you know, I will see what's going on, you know. But my horse is very versatile, you know. He went from up the pace, you know, in a recent start, losing a derby. He won a great race in the Pennsylvania Derby also. He was playing like 4th or 5th. He was just stalking in a Dubai World Cup. He can do pretty much anything you want, you know. Lots of people think he's only a one-way horse. He has to have the lead to win a race. But if you look at the PPs and probably running the last 10 times, I'm probably reading the horse, you know, 6 different times, you know, inside, outside, in the middle, in front. So I don't think there's really nothing to worry about.
Florent, we were talking about this earlier in the show. If Gunrunner were to win big today, with the fact that Arrowgate kind of threw in a clunker a couple of weeks ago in California, in your opinion, are you sitting on the best horse in the country if he wins big today?
Well, not yet. Not until I beat him, you know. They ran twice together and he beat me twice. So far, I will say Arrowgate still has the edge on him. It will depend on Arrowgate next after in the Pacific Classic. After that, if he runs like he did, you know, in the San Diego Handicap, you know, maybe. But so far, Arrowgate, you know, look like, you know, Mr. Buffer has said he has a few things, you know, he thinks he can fix, you know, with Arrowgate. And I'm sure he will. You know, he's a great trainer. He knows what to do. And I give Arrowgate a lot of respect, you know, because he didn't have the trip at all in the Dubai World Cup, and he was able to beat me. And last year in the Traverse, you know, he broke the track record and ran one of the most amazing races, you know, I've ever seen, you know, from my own eyes. So so I still give him credit, but you never know, you know. I hope my horse doesn't run like Arrowgate did, you know, a few weeks ago, you know. We've seen a lot of things, you know, going on last few weeks in racing, you know, between Arrowgate, always dreaming, you know, running no good, cloud computing running no good. So it's, you never know, you know, you can be next, you know, probably not, but you need to take everything in consideration.
Yeah, break out the rosary beads, the garlic cloves, whatever it's going to take to ward off the stigma of Saratoga here this afternoon. Florent Giroux with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Florent, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Good luck today and safe trip every time you get a leg up.
I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, you too. All right, Florent Giroux. Loved his answer to that question about is he the number one horse in the country if he wins big today? And he said, not until we beat Arrowgate. He's got an edge on us now. We have to beat him.
You've got to beat the champ.
You do. Great answer.
Yeah, it was a great answer.
Great answer. All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, going to be joined by Bernie Sams from Claiborne. And still to come, some clips from yesterday's Hall of Fame induction from Garrett Gomez's father and jockey Javier Castellano. Stay with us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreads.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other statebreds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassick Tipton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Outplay wandering in and out, coming down to the 16th pole, but he's all alone. Outplay is the winner of the Curlin.
Outplay dominated the Curlin Stakes at Saratoga this past week under Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez and is now under consideration for the Grade 1 Traverse Stakes on August 26th. That performance by the son of Darley stallion Bernardini makes Outplay your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and Sales Rank Smash. Bernardini won the historic Travers Stakes at Saratoga and sired Travers winners in his first two crops. Since his first crop worth three, Bernardini has had more graded stakes wins and more Grade 1 victories at Saratoga than any other stallion. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The field turns for home with Quality Road to Catch. Top of the stretch. Quality Road leads by a length and a half. Musket Man is second. Here comes Blame with that stretch run of his on the outside. Blame is coming hard at Quality Road. Quality Road is digging down deep. Blame is coming at him with a menacing run. Quality Road and Blame, a photo finish that Blame got. Blame got it by a nostril in the very last moment to defeat Quality Road.
I did already see it, and I saw it right here with my own two eyes at Saratoga. That's Blame winning the Whitney in 2010. What a race that was, getting up in the final strides to defeat Quality Road. Blame, of course, owned by Claiborne Farm and now standing stud at that historic farm in Paris, Kentucky. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, our producer, the Baroness Michelle Pena, we are with you trackside from the rail to your radio here on HRN this morning. Bernie Sams from Claiborne joining us now, and Bernie, that little trip down memory lane with a huge performance by Blame, who, as we know, would go on and defeat Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill later that same year.
Absolutely. No, it was a very exciting day and was fun. We've talked about it quite a bit the last week with him outside and a late on the inside the other day in the coaching club. So it's come up. Sometimes you're on the inside and sometimes you're not. We were glad he wasn't.
Yeah, glad he wasn't indeed. And welcome to Saratoga, my
friend. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How many years have you been coming up here to Saratoga?
Probably mid-80s.
Yeah.
I guess.
What makes it so special?
Yeah, it's a fun place. Everybody's into the horses, and everybody's somewhat vacation. It's work and play.
And you're going to be doing a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. We've been here a week, and we'll be here through the sale and probably the round table and then go home.
Yeah. Now, Claiborne not selling at
the
sale.
We're not selling. We'll look at a few and see if we find something we like. And
you'll have some horses by your stallions, no doubt.
There's a few Orbs over there. I think there's a couple War Fronts, First Samurai, and a couple Flatters or something.
How about Orb? What a great start he's gotten off
tremendous,
to.
Tremendous. I hear a lot of good things. There's three in today, one here, and I think there's one in the stake down at Mama tomorrow. And I think there's one also. Christoph runs one here tomorrow. So
we were there the day Orb won the Kentucky Derby, too.
We all were. It's a day about like today. It was kind of gray and cloudy and raining.
That's right.
That's right. I have a great photo that somebody took. It's really an old school, and it's black and white, and the whole background just blends in, and you just see Orb. It's a really cool photo.
Oh, listen, that was a fun day. You wouldn't have known it was raining.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Except your shoes.
I wouldn't know.
How was your shoes?
Oh, they dried out by the time I got home. It was fine.
What's been the key to getting him off to this fast start at stud, Bernie?
You know what? He's done it himself. He got nice mares, and the foals have been good. They sold well. The in-foal mares sold well. He's had the highest weanling average, yearling average, two-year-old average for freshman sires. So, he's gotten the right look.
When you start with a young stallion like that, and you start trying to find the right mares for that stallion, how do you go about doing it?
It's probably trying different things. You try and get the best mares you can that are stakes winners, stakes producers that are young. I think I probably prefer young over older mares probably. Seem like they've got, everything in front of them. And really, as much as anything, I think it's the people that own the mares and how they raise the foals.
Really?
I think so. I mean, you can have, a really good mare that if a man doesn't raise good horses, you're probably not doing yourself any good. You can have a guy with a little less mare that raises a good foal. And, I'd probably take a shot on him to raise a good runner for you because you want runners when they first start. If they don't get runners the first year, that you get in trouble quick.
Yeah.
Do you like to have more of your in-house mares bred to those kind of stallions?
I'll leave that up to Walker and Seth to figure out which mares on the farms they'd like to use, and that's their deal. Yeah. As far as the outside mares go, I tend to like younger and again, mares that can run with family.
What's it like to go to work at Claiborne every day?
It's like I've said before, it's like Disneyland. It's great. It's great. There's no place like it.
Yeah. So much history, so much tradition.
Well, listen, you pull in the driveway and down by the creek and back in there by the cemetery, it's fabulous.
And it's so quiet.
It's wonderful.
So peaceful.
Wonderful place.
Yeah. One thing I've always loved about Claiborne is that they're always very fan-friendly, too. If somebody wants to come out and take a walk around, then they can do it.
Since I've been there, we've been doing tours twice a day, and then Horse Country started, and Allison Hancock, she does quite a bit, or Allison Bishop, Walker's sister, does the visitor center and is very involved with Horse Country, and it's grown, and it's tremendous. I mean, we'd probably have this time of year two tours, 50, 60 people a day through there.
Yeah, the first time I went there was 1978, and I went there with Alan Buchdahl, who was calling the races at River Downs at the time, but he was a Santa announcer. And got to feed Secretary of Grass. And it was the greatest thing ever. We walked down to the paddock. It was just Alan and I and one of the grooms. We walked down there, and Secretary was under a tree, and he looked at us, and he came running up, and he had that great stride still, even when he was a stud. And I reached down, got the grass, and started feeding him. Never forget it. As long as I live, it was awesome.
I think that's one of the reasons that people still, a lot of people still have memories of Secretariat that came out there when they were kids or young adults with their grandparents or whatever. I mean, I get calls still that say, I came out when it was 1980-something or, early, and saw him with my grandmother. It's remarkable, really.
How do you sum up the philosophy, the Claiborne philosophy to raising good horses?
Do what's best for the horse.
That simple.
It's that simple.
Yeah. All about the horse.
It's all about the horse.
It's kind of old school, too. I mean, you guys let horses be horses. There's no hot housing and all that stuff. And, you got some of the greatest horses in the world come out of Claiborne Farm, but they're horses.
There's a lot of acreage, and they're out a lot. And, obviously there's new things that you can do with them to improve it. But really, at the end of the day, it all goes back to keeping them outside when you can and taking care of them, and like you say, there's no hothouse. They're out and they're horses.
Visiting with Bernie Sams from Claiborne Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bernie, a few horses that we'll see under the gavel next week at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale by one of your promising and very good stallions in War Front. You have a colt, and there's two fillies going under the gavel there that have been cataloged to the sale. Talk about War Front and the role that he's been on.
It's interesting. People ask. I mean, the beginning of the year when it's a little bit quiet, but as the race year goes on, they excel. I mean, Roly Poly, she's won back-to-back Group 1s over in Europe. The two-year-olds are starting to run in Europe. He's done well here. He's doesn't need a lot of explanation, really.
Yeah, another horse that's there at Claiborne is Flatter, and we'll see several Flatter yearlings go through the sales ring, too, and he's making his mark very quickly, too.
Well, we kind of hope Flatter, when West Coast shows up here for the Travers, he'll run well, and maybe he'll shake him up again.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse.
He is a nice horse. Yeah. Nice horse.
What do you, Los Alamitos Derby, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you telling me about Rusty Arnold yesterday when we were talking?
Oh, he's a buddy of mine. Owns a filly that's won here. Monte Greek.
He says, we got to talk about Rusty's.
Rusty's filly. She ran good. No, listen, yeah. It's great for the guy that owns her. He was very excited. So. Yeah. No, it was fun.
I remember when Flatter had a $5,000 stud fee, and I was telling everybody in the universe, you got to breed to this horse. I actually saw, the first Flatter I saw was at the Claiborne consignment at Keeneland. And I go, wow, that's a good-looking horse, you know, and it kind of put me on him. And then I always have people that, you know, don't have a lot of money and they need to get a bargain. And I said, this is the horse right here. You got to breed to this
one. Well, listen, when he started, he was $5,000. I mean, do whatever you can to get mares to him. I mean, yeah. He bred mares to him by sires that you never heard of before, just trying to get bodies. And he did it probably from, you know, he did it himself.
Yeah.
He did it himself. He's really, really a good sire.
Yeah.
Speaking of horses that were really good on the West Coast, you have a new sire that joined the roster this year by the name of Mastery, who was in the hands of Bob Baffert. A lot of people thought he might have been the best three-year-old in the country before he got hurt.
No, he got in, unfortunately got hurt, but still everybody has a tremendous respect for what he is and the races he won and how he did it. He got in the farm back latter part of June, and we got him turned out a couple of weeks ago, and he's done fabulous, and the response to him has been remarkable.
Yeah.
Absolutely remarkable. He was a brilliant horse, I mean, and still is. I wish you could have seen more of what he could have done, but unfortunately didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
Is it different when you're trying to market a stallion like that who hasn't had the success on the big level, like let's say Orb, who won the Kentucky Derby? You have a horse like Mastery who had so much potential, never got to fulfill that potential. Is it different when you're marketing and promoting a stallion like that, or no?
Maybe, but not for him. I mean, I think everybody, the race he won in California when he got hurt, got everybody's attention.
Yep.
I mean, you know, when we started watching his races last fall, they were very impressive, but, you know, each race was better, and the race where he got hurt was, he was brilliant that day, absolutely brilliant. So is there, probably not. I mean, like I say, the laundry list of people that want to breed to the horse next year.
Another horse you have that everybody loves is Run Happy.
He's the people's horse.
He really is.
He's the people's horse. I mean, they've come out the woodwork to breed to this horse.
I told them before.
Oh, I mean, people wouldn't normally breed at Claiborne Farm have called to breed to him. And he got a tremendous book of mares last year, and he's done well. He's filled out well. He looks great. I think, you know, he was so fast. The day he won the King's Bishop up here was unbelievable. I
mean, yeah.
Top of the lane, you thought, I don't know if he can get there. And then you just kind of rebroke on him.
Yeah, so it was amazing. Cost me a lot of money.
You remember that Shug McGahee trained turf horse, Ironicus?
Oh, yeah.
Him? We cashed a few tickets on him, too. He's a Claiborne.
He was a fantastic
horse. Yeah, Ironicus, he's a cool horse. He really is. A guy sent me a text a minute ago, said if I mentioned Ironicus three times, he'd give me a Cats by 90 LLC hat, which is a trotting horse partnership at the Red Mile, a bunch of Walker friends. So he sent me a text. He said, if you mention it three times, I'll get you a hat for free.
I think you're only up to two.
Ironicus. There and I go. Get my hat, yeah. Huh? I hope it's on my desk when I get home next Monday.
He's Bernie Sands with Claiborne, everybody, and boy, do they do a tremendous job. You can learn more about all their stallions by going to ClaiborneFarm.com. And, Bernie, as always, can't thank you enough for your support of what
thank
we
you.
Do here on the net. You've been a supporter of HRN for a long time, and we love being able to be associated with Claiborne. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah, good luck at the sale. Good luck at the races. Yep. Oh, by the way, who wins the Whitney today?
Gunrunner.
Oh, there you go. There it is, right? You heard it from Bernie Sams right here.
That was tough.
Yeah, Gunrunner and everybody else.
Talk about a softball.
Oh, yeah. I see the list again.
All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back. You're going to hear those clips from yesterday's Hall of Fame. That's Javier Castellano accepting his Hall of Fame induction, and then you're going to hear from Garrett Gomez's father, who accepted for him. It was very emotional. We're back with more here on the Equine Forum. On the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Claiborne Farm presents Trap Shot. This graded stakes winner and multiple grade one performer is now an emerging young sire. His top runners include Fish Trap Road, winner of the Grade 3 Dwyer Stakes, plus two-year-old stakes winner Mirai, graded stakes place Quick Release, and Grade 1 performers My Man Sam and Wild Shot. Already ranked among the nation's leading sires of two-year-old winners, Trap Shot has the speed, the class, and the pedigree to remain Tappet's top sire. Trap Shot at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Maryland is synonymous with the Hall of Fame. Once again, Maryland boasts connections with two 2017 Hall of Fame inductees firmly rooted in the state. Trainer Tom Voss lived and trained in Maryland, while Steeplechase horse Goodnight Shirt was bred in Maryland. Maryland, we've got the horses, the horsemen, and the history, and with the current upswing in our breeding and racing, it's the place to be. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds. And don't forget, this year's Maryland Million Day is Saturday, October 21st.
Adena Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording 8 fires from 107 to 117 and 9 Ragosans from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings. Fort Larned, brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adena Springs. Visit adenastallions.com.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
It's One Dreamer headlong into the final furlong. It's Gary Stevens imploring her for one more furlong. Heavily piles on the outside, and now Pat Day asking her for her best. It's One Dreamer trying to hold on for another 50 yards. Heavily piles. Here's the line. One Dreamer wins and scores a huge front-running upset under Gary Stevens. Heavily piles was second. You have just witnessed a felony, for jockey Gary Stevens has just stolen a $1 million horse race. And Tom Hammond, we got it on videotape.
Tom Durkin at his very best with that call of the 1994 Breeders' Cup Distaff, and One Dreamer getting the victory that day for Tom Proctor, who is the trainer for Glen Hill Racing, and Glen Hill owned by Leonard Lavin, who was a longtime force in the thoroughbred business. He passed away this week at the age of 97, and that's just one of more than 80 stakes winners produced by Glen Hill Racing and Breeding. And what a moment that was, and Leonard Lavin certainly going to be missed, JT.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm among his biggest fans. He's a great guy. Used to spend a lot of time with him at the races. He'd sit in the box with the late Marty Ritt, the great director, and Joshua Shelley, a good friend of mine who was an actor and a director, and he'd sit with us and we'd have conversations about horses. He was a really good man and loved the game, devoted a lot of time to making things better in racing, and he is definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, our condolences going out to his grandson, Craig Burnick, who took over running Glen Hill Farm in 2008, and the entire Lavin family and all of those who were associated with Leonard Lavin, including Tom Proctor and his family. Our thoughts, our prayers with you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. Jude, the other big thing that takes place in Saratoga every year is the Hall of Fame inductions. And yesterday, that happened here right across the street at the Racing Museum and Hall of Fame. And three jockeys were inducted. Those were the late Garrett Gomez, who tragically left us far too soon. His plaque was accepted by his father, and he made a very emotional speech, as you would expect. Victor Espinoza, also being inducted yesterday, rider of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, including so many outstanding horses. And then Javier Castellano, rightfully getting into the Hall of Fame yesterday. And this clip from, we're going to start with Garrett's dad. And this clip, just one of the funny stories that he told, but as you can imagine, it wasn't easy for him to get through this speech, but this was one of the highlights of that speech yesterday from Garrett Gomez's father.
The gate crew also showed him how to chew. And they just put a little leaf in his mouth and everything. And it was pretty cute, I thought, at that time, but it wasn't. But he would chew and everything. And then finally I thought, well, this is enough. I'm going to make him, you know, get sick. So we had a little contest. Well, I decided he wanted a can of Skol. So I got him a can of Skol and we sat down, decided we're going to fix him. Well, I made him chew and I chewed. It was a contest. You wouldn't know who got sick, would you? Well, I made him swallow it. He still didn't get sick. He beat me. I couldn't do nothing. But he was born to be a racetracker. I mean, he just lived the racetrack life. So he was quite a little handful and he didn't know nothing and except the horses, and that's the way he wanted to keep his life. But I sure appreciate everything from the family and everything. We thank you all, his peers and everybody, for bringing this moment. There's nothing greater that he wanted. Thank you all.
Yeah, Garrett Gomez, now a member of the Hall of Fame. And if you want a really good listen, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Shortly after Garrett passed away, his longtime agent and good friend, Ron Anderson, joined us on this very same program. And he looked back on Garrett's career. It was an emotional interview and really great stuff from Ron Anderson. You can go back, hit the search button on our website, search for Ron Anderson interview, and it'll pull up. But yeah, good to see Garrett in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was a tremendous rider and a really good guy. A lot of fun to be around, and he's missed by a lot of people. He had countless fans all over the country, but probably the most in California. And just a guy that had oodles of talent and gone way too soon.
Yeah, jockey Javier Castellano also inducted yesterday, and he gave a very professional speech. He was outstanding, and this is how he wrapped it up yesterday afternoon.
I don't want to take it up any more time, but I just want to say how blessed I am and to say I truly know how big an honor this is. I hope I can live with the expectation that all the Hall of Fame riders have set for me. Horse race is truly passion of mine, and see the industry flourish is so very important. This game, we go through a lot of change, but everyone here in this room, I believe how many are same aspiration to love the beautiful animal that give us wonderful year of many thrills that are given to us. The high can be high, the low can be low, but I hope that we can all stick together and be loyal to one another and the sport. It will benefit us and all in the long run. Thank you again for this honor. Have a great day. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, Javier Castellano, now a member of the Hall of Fame. He was presented by fellow Hall of Famers John Velasquez and Ramon Dominguez. And much like Javier, two of the classiest guys you're going to find in the sport of thoroughbred racing, great ambassadors for the sport, and good to see Javier now have his plaque across the street here in Saratoga.
Yeah, no, Javier's just a class act. You can tell by what he said there at the end and how much he loves this game. And that's the kind of guys you want in the Hall of Fame. It's amazing. We should mention, too, Tom Voss, the great steeplechase trainer, also was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he was a a cool guy, had a beautiful family, and he's another one that's going to be missed, especially up here at Saratoga. It seemed to be a place where his horses always shined.
Yeah, congratulations to all of those who were inducted yesterday, and many more waiting over the years to come, no doubt, and we look forward to being part of that presentation each and every year for you. Jude, we mentioned the big racing here. The Whitney, the Test, both grade ones. It's a program that is loaded with stakes races here today in an 11-race card. Our coverage, 5 to 6 Eastern. Make sure you join us for that. But there's another big race in West Virginia today, the grade 3 West Virginia Derby, which is a mile and an eighth. It's for the 3-year-olds. And a couple of horses that we became familiar with throughout the Triple Crown going to be going to the post in there, including Patch for trainer Todd Pletcher, who is 7-2 on the morning line. He has not started since finishing third behind Taprit in the Belmont Stakes, but ridden by Tyler Gaffalione this afternoon, he's a horse that I think you have to take a long look at in that West Virginia Derby.
Yeah, he's 7-2 on the morning line. You know, he's a nice horse. It's funny, he's eligible to non-winners at 2. So,
yeah.
But he has ability. I know he's a fan favorite. A lot of people like Patch because of his one eye. He's by Union Rags and out of an AP in Demers, so he's got a nice pedigree. And Todd Pletcher in his corner. Tyler Gaffalione won 4 races yesterday, so he's red hot right now, and he's certainly got a chance.
You also have the Kentucky Derby runner-up looking at Lee. He's always a force to be reckoned with. He'll be rolling from off the pace late.
Yeah, he really lacks early speed, so he's going to need to figure out a way to get in the game. Corey Lannery rides him back, and Corey finished second to Always Dreaming in the Kentucky Derby. They were very pleased with the race that day, came back and ran fourth in the Preakness, and then couldn't get the distance in the Belmont, got beat 28 lengths.
Ian Wilkes last week was touched off at the wire with McCracken, a gunrunner, nipping him in the grade one Haskell at Monmouth Park. He'll send out McCormick in this afternoon's West Virginia Derby. 6-1 on the morning line. Julian Leperoux is going to be aboard. This is a horse that's been pretty good. He was second last time out in the Iowa Derby.
Yeah, he's only been out of the money once, and that was his first start. He didn't get out of the gate very well, and he still kept to his task. He went from 11th to 8th at the end, but he's improved his early speed now to the point where he actually has a considerable amount of early speed. He got beat by Hentz last time, who's a good horse. He certainly has a chance. He's got to deal with the outside post, but Julian's going to ride him, so that's got to help.
If you made a top pick in there, who's it going to be?
Well, I actually love a horse in that race. It's the one, Game Over.
Ooh.
And the reason I like Game Over is if you look at his last race, he ran against IRAP and Girvin. IRAP and Girvin both came out of that race to win their next starts. Girvin, of course, just took the Haskell. I was there for that. I was very impressed with his run that day. He beat McCracken by a nose in the Haskell. But this horse, if you look at him, he's on the improve in speed figures. He's also got a pretty nice pedigree. He's by Mineshaft. Got a lot of talent. He's 12-1 on the morning line for George Navarro. I think he's going to run a huge race, and I'll take the 12-1.
Yeah, it would be a bit of an upset if he could pull it off, but why not? It happens every day in racing. So take a look at number one, Game Over in that West Virginia Derby. 5:21 Eastern is the post. It goes as the 8th race on that program at Mountaineer. All right, well, we're going to get to our right or wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. The Big A will join me to debate a couple of the top issues in thoroughbred racing. We'll do that momentarily, but first it's time for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, here you go. Bricks and Mortar stays perfect with a Hall of Fame win. In a handful of strides over the Saratoga Racecourse turf, that was yesterday, Bricks and Mortar went from a horse who looked primed to suffer his first defeat to one who still has yet to encounter a rival that can withstand his closing kick. The powerful turn of foot that carried the Son of Giants Causeway to victory in his first 3 starts kept him unbeaten in his toughest challenge to date. He worked his way to a clear path in late stretch before running by race favorite Yoshida en route to a three-quarter length victory in the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes right here at the Spa yesterday afternoon. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, all you have to do is go to bloodhorse.com. And don't miss any coverage of the top races around the country like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. All right, well, our coverage of the Traverse Stakes later this meet is presented by Sunrise Stallions. It's all part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series, which is brought to you by our friends at visitbarbados.org. And every Saturday at this time, we bring you Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise. And I'm joined by the Big A to debate a couple of the hot topics in thoroughbred racing. Big A, what do you think? You ready?
What's happening, man? I'm ready to roll.
All right, let's do this thing.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, here you go. Number one, based on the results of last weekend's three-year-old races, Always Dreaming is still the leader of the division. Right or wrong?
That's right. Two grade one wins, Florida Derby, Kentucky Derby. He ran third in the Jim Dandy, and I know he had things his own way on the front end, but that was his first start since the flop and the Preakness. I think he can build off of that, or you're going to look at the others who are at the top of that division. You have to use cloud computing. He ran a real bad one in the Jim Dandy. We'll see what Taprick does in the Traverse coming up in 3 weeks. I think those three are still at the top of the division. I know Gervin's trying to make a late run, but he has some bad races on his card. Yeah, to me, it's still Always Dreaming division to lose.
Yeah, I'm going to take wrong. I don't know if there is a leader in this division, and I think you have several horses at the top that could conceivably win that three-year-old championship. I mean, Always Dreaming is one of them, but you're right, Gervin now making a late run. I don't necessarily think McCracken is completely out of it, although he needs to stamp himself with a big signature win. Maybe it's in the Travers. Taprit still can state his case for championship honors. I don't see where Always Dreaming can be considered the leader of the division. I don't think there
is a
leader
right
now in this three-year-old division. No, I guess I'm right. How about that? All right, number two, Javier Castellano and Victor Espinoza, both still active riders, were among the inductees into the Hall of Fame yesterday. Horse racing, Big A, should follow suit with some of the other major sports and wait for the participants to retire before getting a Hall of Fame nod. Right or wrong?
I think that is somewhat right. I think the jockeys should have to wait until they are retired. There are guys still competing against each other on that racetrack. John Velasquez inducted Javier Castellano at 11 o'clock in the morning and went and rode against him at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I think there needs to be, with the riders, a wait period. And you want to put them in as soon as they retire, that's fine. But I think they need to wait. It's tough to do that with the trainers because we've seen plenty of guys, Charlie Winningham, Alan Jerkins, literally do this, and they're two of the greatest to ever do it, literally train horses until they die. So the trainers, I think it's a little more difficult. But as far as the riders go, I think, and they're obviously, save the horses, the most physical component of the game, I think the riders should have to wait until retirement.
Yeah, it's a valid point. I don't see a problem with the way that they do it now. I'm okay with that because of the fact that, unlike other sports where your athletes are typically retired well before the age of 40, in most instances, horse racing is completely different. And riders, as you know, I mean, you look at guys now like Mike Smith and Gary Stevens. I mean, they're still going strong, right? John Velasquez, they're still going strong. If you wait too long, then you're going to end up inducting a lot of these guys after they've left us, and that's not good either. I have no problem doing it the way they do it now. I like to see these folks be here when they get inducted, be here to accept that plaque.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, there you go. That's your Right or Wrong segment for this morning, brought to you every Saturday by Sunrise Stallions, home to Big Brown Frost Giant and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. All right, Big A, appreciate it, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys, enjoy the Whitney and the test today on Saturdays at Saratoga.
Yep, huge, huge day here. We're going to tell you all about it when we come back right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Think smart. Ask yourself, what can Sunrise Stallions do for you? Big Brown was the third leading sire in New York in 2016 and currently sits in the same spot in 2017. Last year, Frost Giant had four juveniles sell for $100,000 or more and was recently represented by his first two-year-old winner of 2017. Together, Big Brown and Frost Giant's runners have earned over $2 million in the first half of this year. The answer is simple. Sunrise Stallions puts you in the winner's circle.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power. Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Taprit has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Taprit's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, fillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Taprit. Look for Taprit yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Aaron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, back with you, wrapping up this edition of the Equine Forums, live from Saratoga. Getting set for that coverage of the Whitney and Test this afternoon. Comes your way 5 Eastern. Different SiriusXM channel, though, for those of you tuning in on satellite radio. Sirius 138 XM 201 is your home for that coverage, all presented by visitbarbados.org. Monday and Tuesday night, we bring you our exclusive coverage of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale right here in Saratoga Springs. That begins each night at 6:30 Eastern time. Sirius 215 XM 206, and all that coverage of everything that we do, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Make sure you head over there and check out the schedule and a listing of all the terrestrial affiliates as well. They're all there for you at horseracingradio.net and streaming worldwide. JT, quick update on our poll question. Threw this one out. If you had a prop bet on today's Whitney, you can take Gunrunner or the Fijeld, or the Field, because of the typo. 69% of HRN Nation saying we'll take Gunrunner, just 31% saying we'll take the Field.
Yeah, well, it's not a surprise. 31%. The Field's gone up a point.
Yeah, I guess after Florent Giroux's interview, people started saying, well, I don't know. He was very confident.
He was very positive.
Very confident.
I don't know how you could read between the lines there.
Not at all. He was very confident. Our thanks to Florent and all of our guests who joined us this morning. Heedley Bell was with us, of course, from Mill Ridge. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream. Bernie Sams from Claiborne. All those guests going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, and you can embrace your passion and you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com.
Yeah, they get some great merchandise there. Fantastic spot. Go to Saratoga to the store and check it out.
Embrace the Race, also the presenting sponsor of our coverage of the Facing Tipton Sale Monday and Tuesday nights. Been a lot of fun for all of our guests, for our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studios, for Chauncey, Sean C., handling our social media, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site with us. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you later this afternoon, 5 Eastern, on HRN. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.